We welcome you
as you join us for the worship of our living God today. It's great to have Matthew and Deborah with us again, and we look forward to hearing what God has to say from God's word through him today, through Matthew today. When I was choosing the call to worship today, I chose one and then it just didn't come together. And then the Lord pointed me to this verse in Psalm 27. Might not seem very Christmassy, but believe me, it is. As we celebrate the light of the world coming into this world for our salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We have so much to be grateful for, don't we? Not least the freedom of being able to worship our living Saviour together. In a troubled world, in a divided nation, we have the assurance that our God is constant, never failing, and ever faithful. Our first song today expresses so much about God. My Redeemer, my Counselor, the Way, the Truth, the Life. We praise God to sing, all my days I will sing this song of gladness. We stand to sing. Remain standing as we go into the
next song as we continue to celebrate our great God, recognise his mighty power and his authority. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Our Creator God became flesh in our Lord Jesus, and we celebrate that at Christmas time. He came to be our Saviour and is worthy of all our praise." Let's sing together, "Who has held the oceans in his hand?" Take your seats. And as we sit, let's pray. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. We thank you, Lord God, that you sent your Son to earth to identify with man, to be one of us and to deal with our messy lives. We thank you for this opportunity this morning to enjoy an oasis in our busy lives, time to rejoice, to reflect, but most importantly, to respond to your call on our lives. Open our minds and hearts, we pray, to hear from you, and let us go away from this place today knowing that we've met with the living God. Bless us each one, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, George.
Well, isn't it good to be here this morning? It's great to see you. A very warm welcome to you all. Good to see Kieran back from college. It's good to see George Mears at the back there. Great to see you, George. Good to see Mike back from his operation, Victoria. Anybody else that's I missed? It's great to see you, and bless you all, and it's great. It's also my pleasure to welcome Matthew and Deborah again this morning. We look forward to what Matthew has to say to us from God's Word. Some of us met Matthew when he came and Deborah last time. There may be others that haven't met or haven't really had a chance to talk to them. There will be an opportunity there this morning and later this afternoon after the service this afternoon. But this morning, if we go through to the main hall there, the larger part of the back hall will be, they will be there and they'll be willing to chat to you there. So please make yourself known to them. Just an apology, really, for anybody that turned up to the Lodge Carol service on Thursday. Unfortunately, it had to be called off because of infections there. So if you did turn up, apologies. We couldn't arrange everybody or get everybody notified straight away. So that's that. Now, parking at Francis Bardsley. You're okay this morning and you're okay next Sunday morning, but not in the evenings. Please don't park there or you won't be able to get in there this evening, I don't think. And also you'll see on the notice sheet the 29th of December as well. So please take note of that. Otherwise you'll be locked in or locked out, whatever. Now it's the third Sunday in Advent and the third candle is going to be lit. The third candle represents joy. And it's a great joy to have Darren and Wilma and little Jack with us. And they're going to come. I don't know whether Jack's going to light the candle, but I think probably have to trust that to Darren or Wilma. I think Darren, because Wilma's holding the baby. Come on up. It's lovely to see him asleep. He's putting on a bit of weight, I hear.
Yeah, he is now.
Eating like his dad. Not the middle one, Darren. No. Even though you stand a hat on. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dan. There you go. All over. Thanks.
There's nothing quite like the joy of a newborn baby, especially in the middle of the night. Hey, Darren. Yeah. No, we really rejoice with Darren and Wilma on the safe arrival of Jack, and we do pray for you as you blend into that family that God wants you to be. We're going to continue to worship God now with great joy, thanking God for the gift of his Son and praising him for who he is. We're going to sing to the Lord with all of your heart. Sing of the glory that's due to his name. There's a bit of a theme here this morning, isn't there? We are worshiping that living God who reigns on high. We're singing to him because he is the one worthy of all our praise. Let's stand to sing. Now it's time for the younger members of our congregation to leave us. I think that second verse of that song we've just sung, sing to the Lord with all of your mind, with understanding, give thanks to the King. That's what these children groups are all about, that actually they understand about the Lord Jesus in their own way and at their own level. So let's just pray for them as they go and pray for the leaders as they lead them this morning. Lord, we do pray for our children and our young people. We pray, Lord God, that you will watch over them today and in the days ahead and help them as they grow up in you. We pray that you will bless their teachers as they seek to point the way to you. We ask these things in your name and for your glory. Amen. Now the welcome team will wait on you for your offerings. Thank you. Just as Martin's going to come and pray for us, we'll just pray for these offerings. We thank you, Lord, for all your gifts to us, not least the gift of your Son, our Saviour, that we celebrate at this Christmas time. Bless us as we seek to declare the truth of the salvation offered to us all through Jesus. Make us wise, we pray, in the spending of these funds for the honour and glory of your name. We pray too that at this Christmas season you will give us wisdom as we buy treats for those we love and help us to remember others in need too. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for Matthew and Debbie and their family. Please bless the message that he brings to us today. Please open our hearts and minds to your message. Please be with all the people in mission for you at this moment, both near and far away. We think especially of the more Christmassy ones like the Nativity Project and the Narnia Project, and all the school children that will be visiting churches at this time. Help and be with them and bless this work, Lord. Please give wisdom, Lord, to our government. Help them to govern wisely and in a way that glorifies you. Please also be with the deacons and trustees in the church. Bless them and their families and guide them, Lord. Help and be with those in the church that are unwell at this time. Please lift them up to you and help them to feel your loving presence. And help and strengthen us in your love and your will in this coming week, Lord. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Thank you, Brenda. In my notes, I'd hopped over this song. I was going to sing from the squalor of a borrowed stable on my notes, but I noticed that we're going to sing "Jesus Christ, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice." As we think of Christmas and all that that means to us, we can't think of Christmas without thinking about Easter, can we? And that is what we'll celebrate later on today. We won't only celebrate his death, but we will celebrate his rising from death. We're thinking about his sacrifice that put us here today. By grace, we're saved through faith, the gift of God. Let's stand to sing, "Jesus Christ, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice."
Praise God. I think that was my problem. I picked up the remote and I think I pressed the button by accident during there. So sorry for that. I must say it is wonderful to be here again. We drove from Bedfordshire this morning. It was cold in the country where the cows, where we get milk from. And we drove into Romford, and the first place we stopped off is the Café Royal. And we saw some good food there, and we had some good tea there, so we started getting a bit warmer. And then we got here, and we just had a wonderfully warm welcome. So praise God for warm brothers and sisters in Christ who've just warmed us up. And for Café Royal, who also warmed us up in a different way. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are speechless when we look at the cross, when we try and grasp what happened, how you stepped down from heaven. You gave up all the privileges, all the angels worshiping you faultlessly, unencumbered with sin. You stepped into your creation, which had been marred by man, men like us. And you came as a baby, and you grew older, and you died on the cross for me, for the people in this room, for all who would ever believe in you. We are speechless, Lord. So now with that in mind, may we approach your word. We pray, Lord, your spirit will move amongst us, and we will see you clearer as we pray in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Last year was my first Christmas in England for 28 years. And I was somewhat caught off balance with the enormity of it. It might be normal for you, but it wasn't normal for me. The street I lived in seemed to be transformed into something crossed between the Blackpool Illuminations and Diwali. It was breathtaking. I can only imagine school children skipping home from church, the excitement as they prance through this fairy tale street that I lived in. It had reindeer and Santa Clauses and laser strobe lights and imitation snow falling LED lights available in both warm white and cold white. It was all there. Now, we were caught off balance. Our own humble abode was much more reminiscent of Ebenezer Scrooge's Clark's fireplace, which was described as looking like just one lump of coal glowing. So this year, I wasn't going to be caught off balance. I didn't want to earn the title of the Black Hole of Calcutta, or the Black Hole of Flitwick, or the Black Hole of Romford, or anywhere. So I thought I'd blend in. If you can describe hanging lights from your otherwise dreary gutters as blending in, that's what I wanted to do. So I made some inquiries as to where is a good place to buy Christmas decorations. And I pilgrimed to a local garden center, and my eyes popped out of my head. It was incredible. There was an area probably the size of two football pitches next to each other. Lights were in every color, in every shape, in every flashing frequency. You had tinsel, tree decorations. Wait for this. You had clap-activated cable car hand-gliding Santa Clauses. What 8-year-old boy doesn't want one of them? I thought I was in the North Pole itself. Under the northern lights, on fireworks day, looking through a kaleidoscope. It was truly a thing of beauty, until my wife stopped me. And she asked me this telling question: where's the nativity scenes? The spell was broken. Suddenly, what appeared to be a thing of astounding beauty turned back into mere gaudy plastic beads and tarnished metal, which it really was. With those few words from Deborah, the illusion was shattered. I looked at the people around me differently. Here were people blinded by the flashing lights to the real reason of Christmas. Lost people looking for meaning, needing peace, separated by God, from God by their sin. People possibly needing what was missing from this display, the absent nativity scene, to lead them to the offence of the cross and onward to the empty grave. People who would most likely enter 2020 untouched by the real reason of Christmas, instead gripped by debt, diet, and depression. Did you know New Year's Day is one of the highest risk days of suicide in the calendar? Close your eyes for a moment. That's right, close your eyes. Just for a few seconds. I want you to imagine that fantastic Christmas lights and the tinsel. And with your eyes still closed, listen to this part of today's text. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now you can open your eyes. That is the Christmas tragedy. The true light, Jesus Christ, was coming into the world, and the world did not recognize him. If you're a believer here today, there's nothing new in today's message. You've known these amazing truths for perhaps many years. My prayer for you today is that you'll momentarily put away thoughts of Prezi shopping, card writing, and feeding the casts of thousands that are going to descend on your house in a couple of weeks' time. And instead, go into the attic of your mind and take out that most precious Christmas decoration. The Word who became flesh, Jesus, God the Son. Take him out and adore him anew for stepping into this world and dwelling with us. And if you're not yet a believer, my prayer is this year you will hear the Christmas message differently to what you've ever heard it before. If you compare other Christmases to a flat stone skimming on a smooth pond, just touching the surface and skimming off again, today, I want that brick to sink. I want it to sink into your soul so you too can experience the peace with God, which is only available through Jesus, the Word, who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Either way, this year, whether you're a believer or whether you're an inquirer, I want Jesus, the Word, who became flesh, to become fresh to you. And I think today's text is extremely helpful in this regard. So I've split the message, predictably, into three parts. Now, each part contains a truth from the text and an appropriate response from us. So the first part we will talk about is Jesus is God. Our appropriate response is recognize that. The second part I've drawn from the text is Jesus is Savior. Our appropriate response, receive him. And the third part is Jesus is here. And our appropriate response is rejoice. I might have broken it when I dropped it. Nope. Jesus is God. Recognize. Right off the bat, John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the first words of his gospel account, unashamedly writes in verse 1, the Word, that's Jesus, was God. The Word was God. Jesus was and is God. And no serious study of John's writings can come to any other conclusion. Again, if you look at today's text at verse 18, the one and only Son, that's Jesus, who is himself God. Skip ahead past today's reading. Look at verse 23 if your Bible is open. John the Baptist describes his own ministry as that of a voice of one in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. That's how John the Baptist is describing his own ministry. Now, who is John the Baptist talking about who's going to come? The Lord. And if you go to the book of Isaiah, where this quote comes from, Lord is spelt capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And you would know when you read that in the Old Testament, it is a translation of the Hebrew Yahweh, where we get our word Jehovah from. The word is Jehovah. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is God. At the end of this gospel account, you will recall John is writing about Thomas's reaction. Remember, we somewhat unfairly called him Doubting Thomas. And at the end of the gospel, Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I feel the wounds. So Jesus says, come feel. And he places his hands into his side. And what does he say after that? What does John record Thomas as saying? My Lord and my God. The whole of the book of John's gospel, from the start to the end, tells us that Jesus is God. And Jesus accepts that title. If he was not God, that would have been blasphemous. But he accepted that, and he accepts worship. Jesus is God, from start to finish. Perhaps more than any of the other gospel accounts, you see it clearer in the gospel account of John that Jesus is God. You cannot escape it, and you cannot believe the Bible is true and deny that Jesus is God. It is the basis of our entire faith. You cannot become a Christian without believing this. So getting back to today's text, the Word was God. The one and only Son is himself God. Jesus is God. And we read about him, his involvement in creation in verse 3. We read in verse 4, he's the source of life, the source of light. And then we come to verse 10. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Again, here is the tragedy of Christmas. The world did not recognize the Word, Jesus. Didn't recognize him as God, did not recognize him as Creator. We heard from Romans chapter 1 a little earlier. Did not recognize him as Savior. And I would guess, not knowing Romford well, but if it's anywhere like I live, you can go meters from this church building and you will find people who are described here, not recognizing Jesus as Savior, as God or Creator. The world did not recognize us. And recognition is the response that we need to the fact that Jesus is God. Today's text says the world does not recognize him. That's the people who are shopping for Christmas lights. And even people sitting in some churches throughout this land. We are all faced with the question that Jesus asked Peter when he said, who do you say I am? Do you remember that in Matthew 16? Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? Today's text, we could use the language, do you recognize who I am? And Peter's answer is, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus turns around and says, this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, or today we might say, you didn't figure that out from Google, or you didn't figure that out from clever arguments, or you didn't figure that out through mathematical equations or science lab. You didn't know this. It wasn't revealed by flesh and blood, but from God the Father. Do you recognize Jesus as being God, the source of life, the creator of everything, the true light shining in the darkness, the light that darkness cannot overcome? If not, would you be willing to stop right now and ask God to reveal this truth to you? Would you ask him to do that if you don't believe that? Ask him to reveal himself to you, that you too would recognize that Jesus is God, because my preaching can't do that to you. Only the Father in heaven and the moving of the Spirit can do that. All I can do is ask you to sincerely ask God to reveal himself to you. And if you do recognize that Jesus is God, would you pause right now and praise God for revealing this to you and ask him to keep the word fresh in your soul? The second point. Jesus is Savior, and our response, we are to receive him. Now, we don't need to guess why John wrote his gospel. He tells us. At the end of John, or almost at the end of John, at the end of John chapter 20, John writes this. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that. Now, here's the purpose statement. Here is why he wrote it. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Why? Why, John? Why are you writing this so I can believe Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God? John continues and he says, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why John wrote his gospel account. John does not merely want us to believe that Jesus is God the Son. He does want us to believe that, but he doesn't only want us to believe that. He wants us to have eternal life because we believe in him, because we trust in him. And that's why John wrote these things. Now, getting back to today's text, verse 11. He, that's Jesus, the Word, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus came to his own people. God's own people. He came initially to the Jews, but apart from a handful, they did not receive him. They rejected him. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the world did not receive him. His own people mostly did not receive him, yet there were people who received him. And here we get a good understanding what it means to receive him, because sometimes we get a bit churchy in our discussions, in our words. What does it mean to receive Jesus? And he equates receiving Jesus with believing in his name. Believe, merely understanding that Jesus is God is important, but it is not sufficient to save us, to reconcile us to God. To do this, we need to believe in his name. Put it another way, we need to trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus accomplished under his name. Who is he? Well, point one, he is God, right? But he is God, and he is fully God. But the name Jesus tells us something more about it. The name Jesus comes from the Hebrew Yeshua, and that means God who saves. Yes, he is God, but he is God who saves. And here we read that God who saves, the Word, Jesus Christ, has given to them who believe in him the right to become children of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Believing in his name isn't just believing in who he is, it's believing in what he did. We are to believe that he lived a life without sin. We are to believe that he died willingly, a terrible death that he didn't deserve and we deserved. We are to believe that that death paid our debt of sin, of offense against God. And the sin and offense of everybody who would believe. And after 3 days, he rose again, according to the scripture. That's believing on his name. It's the things which are associated with his ministry, as well as just believing Yeshua, God who saves. Do you believe these things? Do you believe them? Now, the word translated as right in verse 12, right to become the children of God, it is interesting because it is a correct rendering to say we have the right to become the children of God, but the original Greek has a nuance in it which the older translations might have got. So if you hear and you grew up with an older translation, you'll remember he gave the power to become children of God. And that word power is also contained into the Greek word. Jesus, God the Savior, did it all. Not only did he give us the right, but he gave us the power, those who believe in his name, even the ability, the strength, the power, not just the right, not just the permission to become children of God, but the very ability to become children of God is a gift from God. Even belief and trust himself is a gift from God. God gets the glory for it all. In verse 3, we read how Jesus was the creator of all things and the source of life. And here we read that not only was he the creator in verse 3, in verse 12, he is the recreator. He created me as a human being in verse 3. In verse 12, when he gave it to me to believe these truths around him, he recreated me. Dead Matthew became live Matthew. And I was so corrupted by this world, it took the same creative power that created the cosmos to start off with to recreate me into somebody righteous before God, or somebody considered righteous before God, rather. Not only is he the giver of physical life, he is the giver of spiritual life to the spiritual dead. And those people who walk through Christmas blinking at the pretty lights but blind to the manger, they have rebelled against God in every part of their life, that they no longer see the source of life and the true light this Christmas. It is Jesus who will both give them the grace to believe in him, and when they do, he will give them the ability, the power, the right, the privilege, the excelsior. The rebel becomes a son because of Jesus the Savior. Praise God. Are you a child of God? Do you believe in his name? Have you received him? There is no one too far gone in their sin that Jesus cannot save. The Bible is full of accounts of murderers, adulterers, thieves, immoral people who have believed in the name of Jesus and received the right to become children of God. Saul persecuted the church. He believed on the name of the Lord Jesus. He got the power to become a child of God. And then God used that previous persecutor to write almost half of the New Testament. He can turn us around. No one is too bad for the cross. But equally, no one is good enough for heaven without it. Believe in the name of Jesus. There is none other name under heaven by which you may be saved. The third point. Nope, that's the first. Jesus is here. Rejoice, Jesus is here. This is Christmas. The final point of today's message is in verse 14. It's the Christmas message. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what that tree is about. That is what the carols we're going to sing this afternoon. I hope you're going to be here this afternoon. That's what we're going to sing about. That's what the hymns we're singing today about. That's what the people who don't see in the street, that in the church, we should be seeing. It's the Christmas story. We have seen his glory. Recognizing that Jesus is God, we now read that he became flesh. He added humanity to his nature. He became at the same time both fully God and fully man. He laid aside the comforts of heaven to live in this sin-corrupted world. He stepped down from paradise into his own creation, broken by man. Light penetrated darkness. The kingdom of heaven prevailed over the domain of the evil one. Wow, this needs to get us excited, guys. This is what Christmas is about. And all this happened. Where's Jack? And all this happened when the little baby lay in the manger, looking up adoringly at his human mother, who had just delivered the deliverer of the human race. As a delicate baby lying in the manger, we have the creator of the universe. The shepherds hurried to see the Lamb of God. The wise men brought riches to the King of Kings. Angels announced peace is now available between man and God. God gets a new name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The significance of this humble labor ward cannot be overstated. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He took up humanity. He lived amongst us. And John then takes the next 20 plus chapters of his gospel account to describe his earthly ministry. The diseased were cured. The lame walked. The blind saw. The dead were raised. Demons were cast out. And good news was preached to the poor, like me. Ah, from the first miracle at the wedding at Cana, to the miraculous catch of fish, we have John describe the God who is tabernacling, who has set up his tent amongst us, who has dwelt with men as man, the God who is here. That's Christmas, the God who is here. And as his children, when we look at Christmas, it is this true light that must captivate us. This light that shone into darkness. This light that the darkness could not prevail against. Oh, forgive us, Lord, when we are distracted by lesser lights and fleeting shadows. Make the Word fresh for us again this Christmas. Jesus has come in the flesh. The world will never be the same again. We will never be the same again. Peace is now available between man and God. Reconciliation is available to us. Glory to God. Rejoice. So, in John's prologue, we see three truths and three responses required from us. First of all, Jesus is God. Our response? We need to recognize that. Second of all, Jesus is Savior. Our response, we need to receive him, to believe in his name. And third of all, Jesus is here. God with us. Emmanuel. We need to rejoice. And over the next few weeks, the vast majority of people will be completely ignorant of the true life which took on human flesh on that first Christmas. Their Christmas will be a period of temporary distraction from the drudgery of the mundane. Who would want that instead of what we've got? They will eat, drink, and be merry, in an effort to anesthetize the cry of their soul for peace with God. And they will temporarily succeed. They will be distracted for a week, maybe for a couple of days. But not soon from now. Soon from now, the turkey sandwiches will be finished. The decorations put away for another year. The diet will be started. The bills will flood in. And they have just spent another Christmas without seeing the true light that gives true peace. So what should we do? Those of us who have not only seen the baby in the manger, but also the man on the cross, what must our reaction be when we see thousands of people who we dwell amongst getting so close to Jesus? Some even enter in our churches and yet leave unchanged. Well, I know I'm not supposed to have any points in my conclusion, but I'm going to give you 3 points now from the gospel, from the Christmas story. 3 challenges. First of all, praise God like the shepherds. Luke 2:20 tells us that after they had seen Jesus, they left glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. As the word becomes fresh for us, our praise should be refreshed. Second, we should worship Jesus like the wise men. They committed themselves to a difficult journey. They gave of their own resources in the form of gifts. As the word becomes fresh to us, we should respond by fresh, sacrificial service to his cause. And third of all, we should testify like Simeon, who after he saw the baby Jesus, he declared this: "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people." As the word becomes fresh to us, we should find it more natural to testify of others to the source of the peace which is in us. And what better time to do this than at Christmas, when people are expecting us to talk of Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for being affected by this world in us, distracted by lesser lights and fleeting shadows of Christmas, by the baubles and the sparkles and the Santa Clauses. Forgive us, Lord. It is so easy. This world is like a tsunami. But we know we are strong to stand against that tsunami when we stand on the solid ground of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh. So, Lord, forgive us. Become fresh again to us. Let us feel that great commission again and talk to our neighbors. Let us send a little handwritten note to the house of the person who lives next to us and pray that the scriptural words we include in these Christmas cards may be used by your Holy Spirit. Lord, make yourself fresh to us so we can make you fresh to other people by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there is somebody here today who has not tasted the freshness of the cross, who still gets all excited of the baby in the manger, loves Christmas, but is offended by Easter, we pray, Lord, today that that person will ask you to reveal your gospel to them. And this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our hymn we're going to sing now is Emmanuel, from the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. And this hymn starts off with the Christmas story. It tells us in the second verse, I hope, it tells us in the second verse how he walked as a man without sin with the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes us in the third verse to his betrayal at Easter and then talks about his glorification and the one day he'll come back for us. So please, with the music, if you're able, please stand and let's worship our Lord. Please be seated.